Hello, listeners. You are listening to another episode of That's Entertainment. I am your pop culture maven, Jeff Malone. And with me, as always, live from Hampton, Maine, is my Aunt Beth Woods. Aunt Beth, how are you?
Good. It's been a while, so I'm glad
to be here. A little bit. I guess yeah. It's been since Christmas, yeah, since you and I last recorded together.
Christmas. Yeah. I was thinking it was longer ago, but now I guess it's, Christmas time.
Sheesh. Well, a lot has happened since then.
I know. It's March already.
It is. And another holiday month.
March, because of your birthday, you mean?
I guess you could say that. Thank you for mentioning it. Yeah, so this will be this episode should be arriving in people's podcast feeds on the weekend of my birthday. I think I'm gonna release this one a little early. I think I'm gonna release it on Saturday instead of Sunday, just because my birthday is Sunday this year. So I'm like, I'll release it on Saturday, and then I can take care of spreading the word about it on Saturday, and then. Then I can just concentrate on celebrating.
Yeah. Will you be in Pennsylvania?
That's the plan.
Okay.
Well, March is also a time, usually it happens in March when the Academy Awards are presented. And I don't think it'll surprise anyone who has listened to us before to know that Aunt Beth and I are fans of Hollywood's Biggest Night. Mm-hmm. And that's Night with an N, not a K-N. Although, I think we're probably fans of Hollywood's K-Nights, aren't we?
Who are, like, our sirs, you mean?
That's one way to interpret it. Sir Sean Connery, Sir Pierce Brosnan, not just... that, too. I was about to just mention... James Bond actors, but Sir Paul, has he attended Oscars? Has he been Oscar nominated for any of his songs?
I wonder if his Live and Let Die probably was nominated.
Back to James Bond, there we go.
Yeah.
Appropriately enough, they had a tribute to it on that. So usually on That's Entertainment, the premise of the show is we pick a pop culture topic and discuss it according to the three F's, first, favorite, and forever. But we already did that with the Oscars a few years ago, in talking about our decades-long love of the Academy Awards. And then every year since then, we've done a recap episode, and that's what this is. So about the 97th edition of Hollywood's Biggest N Night. But before we get into that, I wanted to ask you, have you been keeping up with pop culture Jeopardy?
No, and I listened to your dad's Jeopardy episode, which I enjoyed. Mm-hmm. I kind of forgot about it for a while. At the beginning, I was watching it, and then I sort of forgot, and then I didn't keep going just because there's so, like you said, there's too many Jeopardies, so I have too many other things, so maybe when it gets, did you say it's getting near the finals?
Yep, the final episode will be released on Wednesday, March 5th, I believe, so the day after we're recording this, but by the time this episode is released, the Pop Culture Jeopardy final should be available for viewing. I've had to, three episodes a week is how they've been releasing it, so I've had to prioritize it to keep up with it, and that's made me kind of a few weeks behind on a few other shows, but so once this ends, as Pop Culture Jeopardy is ending, maybe I'll be able to catch up with everything else. We had texted around the time of when the first few episodes came out. You had asked me if I had gotten final on one of the first episodes.
Yeah, I forget even what it was.
It was something like this this athletic apparel company was had a deal to be featured in this 2000 movie, something like that.
And was it the Tom Hanks movie? Or
it was Castaway. So yeah, it was referring to Wilson, which was the company that made the volleyball. Yeah, so I forget if they were asking for the name of the company or the name of the movie, but
I can't remember.
But yeah, I was like, well, should we do a, we've done other Jeopardy episodes. Should we do a full on pop culture Jeopardy episode? Then I was like, well, maybe we should wait until one or both of us ends up, becomes a contestant on pop culture Jeopardy.
I want you to be a contestant. I don't, the first one or two shows, I thought, oh, I might do okay. But then it started getting a little more obscure. But like I said, I'll have, maybe I'll watch a couple in between. But they seemed harder as it was going along. I don't know. Did that continue? Or
I think it's been pretty consistent, the types of questions they've been asking and the difficulty levels. I've found some of it hard myself, like when they get even about shows and movies that I've watched, and they're asking you to like finish a specific quote.
Oh, like, wow. Very specific.
Watch that episode once. I kind of remember that scene, but I, on an average episode, I knew like maybe 40, at least 40 out of the 60 clues. So, like, I think I'm still solid enough.
Yeah. So can you continue to try out?
Well, that depends on if it gets renewed or not.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's doing well, but we'll see what the decision makers decide as far as that goes.
I didn't see anybody. I must have watched a bunch that when it was first aired. I didn't see anyone my age. They were all, not all young, but younger than me.
There were a few teams where it was like multi-generational, like someone's dad and his two kids. Mm-hmm. So he was, you know, like someone in his 60s and the kids were in their 30s thereabouts.
So
There were a few close a to few. You. But I would say most of the contestants were about my age. So in 30s and 40s mostly.
Okay.
Well, I guess, let's go ahead and dive right into the Oscars so that we don't fall asleep before we cover everything. So the 97th Academy Awards, hosted by Conan O'Brien, and the big winner of the night was Anora, which won 5 categories, including Best Picture. But otherwise, it was pretty spread out. All but 2 of the 10 Best Picture nominees won at least one award.
Which 2 didn't?
Nickel Boys and A Complete Unknown.
Okay.
Aunt Beth, what were your biggest impressions of the show?
I liked it overall. I thought the opening, Cynthia and Ariana's opening was beautiful. And then Conan's entrance from the Substance movie, and then his monologue, I thought was really good. Didn't they introduce him as a 4-time Oscar viewer?
Yeah, I was like, only 4 times?
I think they were probably joking. But I thought he had some great... He did a really good job. I thought he was he seemed very relaxed and very funny. Some of the jokes I just wrote down when they showed some of the headshots and they showed Timothy Chalamet and the ultrasound, because they were showing like younger.
Oh, right, so, right.
I forget which other stars, but that. And I can't remember the joke. There was a funny joke about Ralph Fiennes that if he lost, they'd have to call him Ralph or something.
I think that's what it was. Yeah.
And then the Adam Sandler, that cracked me up when he was in talking about his apparel, because he was wearing basketball shorts and a shirt. But I thought, well, that's how he always dresses. I've seen him at formal occasions before, and that's it. I think it was Jennifer Aniston and he were, maybe they were on Ellen or some show, and she was just talking about that. I mean, that's just him. He's just right. So natural. And I like when he says, Chalamet. So, yeah, and then I've got some more things under favorite moments. But, yeah, I thought, I mean, somehow it still managed to go long, even though they didn't do the song performances. I guess a few things. I didn't love the Quincy Jones, Queen Latifah's song. I don't know. And then what were the other songs they did? That the three artists that I don't even know who Lisa and what was that one again?
That was for the James Bond tribute.
That oh yeah, I
didn't it was love Lisa from Blackpink, which is a Korean group.
Oh, okay.
And I think Doja Cat and Ray were the other two.
I heard of Doja Cat. I didn't hear of the other. That one I didn't love either. But otherwise, yeah, I mean, it wasn't like something really, really stuck out, but I thought it went, you know, went smoothly, and I laughed enough, so. Mm-hmm. What did you think?
I was mostly happy with it. Conan is one of my favorite comedians of all time. Mm-hmm. I'd say my favorite late night host of all time. So I was sure that as long as he was himself, I would enjoy the show at least somewhat. And there are a few moments where like, oh, he kind of had, I thought maybe he could have had an opportunity to do this or that. You mentioned the Substance opening that he did. It was like, mm-hmm. oh, he could have inserted himself to even more of the movies from this year, which Billy Crystal did. He was mm-hmm. known for that, doing that at the Oscars. And Conan did it when he hosted the Emmys a couple times. But, I mean, the opening was just so huge. Like, they already had the Ariana and Cynthia singing right before him. And then his monologue was fairly long. I think he's more comfortable just doing a monologue than a pre-tape. Or maybe that's just how he decided to do it. But, he was also just a good tone setter, I thought. Like, he's someone who, he's clearly a big movie fan, and mm-hmm. he kept the tone light while not ignoring the moment. Like, if occasionally there were a few references to politics, not a ton. There's definitely been other Oscar years where politics has been more at the forefront than it was here, but it didn't felt like it was being smothered or anything mm-hmm. like that. But yeah, he kind of like, he was paying attention to what the mood of the room was, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, I read that he watched there were 35 different movies in different nominations, mm-hmm. and that he watched all of them beforehand. So
right.
he must be a big movie fan to have time to do that.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, that's if I didn't have to worry about making money, then that's what I would spend my time doing leading up to the Oscars, and I'm not even hosting.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, it was... Okay.
So should we get into our favorite acceptance speeches and reactions to the winners and other favorite moments?
Sure.
Okay. So what were your let's yeah.
Well, you just mentioned I was surprised and kind of sad that A Complete Unknown didn't win any. That was probably, well, as I saw, I've only saw five of them, but that was probably my favorite movie of the ones I'd seen, so I was disappointed. I was very surprised that Emilia Perez didn't win Best International Film. I think that was kind of a surprise.
Had you noticed the controversy that had happened with Carlos Sofia's guest going and like her old tweets?
That might have had something to do with it, you think? that why
I,
they
I
didn't
think
win?
So. My well, yeah, I kind of thought even so when the nominations were announced, it had the most nominations. It won.
Didn't win that many either.
No, but it had been winning at other awards shows earlier in the season. Like, I think it won Best Comedy or Musical at the Golden Globes. So it was looking like a potential favorite. But I was always kind of thinking, there's people who love this movie, but there's also people who hate it. And I think it's too divisive to really win big. And then when the stuff about her old tweets came out, I think that affected the people who were kind of in the middle.
Maybe. She should have waited till she tweeted later.
Right. like the people who really loved it, I think, still voted for it. But then people who were kind of on the fence were like, maybe I don't like this movie as much as I thought I did. And then I'm Still Here ended up winning that. And that was kind of, it felt like that was a movie that people didn't see until late in the season. Maybe a lot of voters hadn't even watched it before nominations came out, but then they made time for it and they're like, oh, we like this movie too.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for it to stream because it never came here, so I do want to see that. But yeah
I think you'll enjoy that one.
Yeah, I am looking forward to it. Let's see. I'm disappointed that A Real Pain, I wanted that to win for original screenplay, and that was another one I enjoyed quite a bit. I think I put for my acceptance speeches, I put that under favorite moments. So,
okay.
The last one was, I was surprised that Anora won that many, and I have more to say on that later.
Okay. Well, I had been predicting that Conclave was going to win Best Picture, and I kind of thought that.
I thought The Brutalist was, that I wanted it to, but I thought that's what it was going to win, yeah.
Right. Well, so. I mean, I thought I wasn't hugely confident about that. I mean, this year was unique where it was really, it felt like there were four or five possible movies that had a legitimate chance to win Best Picture in the last few weeks. But I'd been thinking Conclave was a strong contender for months, but like, well before any award show happened. It just seemed like a movie that would be well-liked across the board and fit a lot of Oscar hallmarks. And it was one of my favorites as well, so I would have been happy to see it win. But then it wasn't winning a ton of stuff early on in the award season, but neither was Anora. It was like The Brutalist and Emilia Perez were winning big at Golden Globes and other stuff. But then Anora won at the Directors Guild and at the Producers Guild. And I'm like, oh, now that's looking like the favorite.
Yeah.
And Conclave won Best Picture at the BAFTAs, and it won Best Ensemble at the Screen Actors Guild Awards.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask. I couldn't remember. Yeah.
Whereas Anora didn't win anything at the SAG Awards. So it was looking, coming into the Oscars, like those two were looking like the biggest possibility at that point. But yeah, then, so I was thinking Conclave was going to play well on the preferential ballot, because that's how Best Picture is determined for, you know, anyone who's not as nerdy as possible about the Oscars. Best Picture voting works. Voters rank their choices from first through 10th. And if a movie doesn't get enough first place votes on the first round of voting, then they look at what got second place votes and third place votes. So I thought Conclave would work well on that ballot. And I was with that method because it didn't seem like a movie that people would hate too much, even if it wasn't their number one. And I was thinking Anora, I thought it might be a little more divisive, but that didn't seem to be the case. And I think a big reason for that is because the director and writer and editor, Sean Baker, is just so well-liked. And like, I think he's been around long enough and worked with enough people at this point that he could have made a really bizarre movie. Like something as bizarre as Everything Everywhere All at Once. Like if he had made something as weird as that, he could have won Best Picture. Because people just liked him so much.
What else did he do that's like we would know that's...
His last two movies were Red Rocket and The Florida Project.
Oh, I saw The Florida Project. I didn't see the other one. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, he's never made... Like, all of his movies have been independent movies. Like, these...
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, Anora got... Like, the... Now he's kind of like a mid-tier independent, where it's like he's... His movies are being released by, like, A24, Neon, so, like, the smaller studios. So they, like, start out in maybe, like, 5 theaters their first weekend and gradually build to, you know, like, then 50 theaters their next weekend, then a few hundred, and then maybe they'll get to 1,000 or so. But, yeah, I mean, but that's, in this day and age, that's enough to be a big Oscar player. Yeah, and then as for other, my other big takeaway from the winners, I thought it went mostly as expected. Just I was disappointed with lead actress not going to Demi Moore, because I just really loved her in The Substance. I know you didn't watch that. Well, I mean, I'll say this about what are your thoughts on Demi Moore in general?
Oh, I've always liked her, but I feel like I hadn't seen her in like 20 years. And I mean, I don't know what the last movie she did was before this.
Well, did you watch Feud? She was in that. But yeah, I don't know what movie. So that was on TV. She'd been doing something. But yeah, I don't know what movie. I was just thinking about it. I was like, I know her movies, but I haven't seen too many of them.
Yeah,
like, I've never seen Ghost. Or St. Elmo's Fire.
Yeah. Oh, it's the one with Robert Redford that they, I forget the name of it, they offer money for her.
Is that Indecent Proposal?
Yeah. Is that Demi Moore?
That is Demi Moore. Was that Robert Redford too?
I thought so.
Okay. Yeah. And that's another one that I know of that I haven't seen.
Yeah, I don't know if she's, you know, when she her kids were younger, if she kind of stepped away for a while, because, but yeah, I was happy for her that, you know, it seemed like, oh, she's finally being recognized, and she did win, did she win the SAG, and did she win the Golden Globe also?
She won it at the Golden Globes and at SAG, and I think Critics' Choice. So
I'm surprised. Yeah. Surprised,
but then Mikey Madison won it, the BAFTAs. I wasn't too surprised. I mean, a few months ago, after I saw Anora, I thought Mikey Madison was the favorite. And I did not think Demi Moore was the favorite when I saw The Substance. I didn't think that was going to get any Oscar nominations.
Yeah.
It did not seem like an Oscar movie in any way. And then it did start getting nominations. I'm like, okay. And then she won at the Golden Globes and gave such a great speech.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, I think this is going to influence Oscar voters. I think she just won the Oscar on the strength of her Golden Globes speech. And I think that it almost happened. I'm guessing she finished a very close second in the voting.
Was she really good in it? In the movie?
I mean, I was going to say, like, I don't think you like the movie that much.
But I think you would appreciate
her performance.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's maybe some scenes, like maybe you could watch a 20-minute version of it without all the gross parts.
What's I gonna say about it? Oh, just went right past. If I think of it, I will tell you. But yeah, it's. Yeah, I kind of felt bad for her. I think people were a little surprised when she didn't win. So,
Well, at least she got to give the speeches that she gave at the other award shows, so it wasn't like she got nothing out of this season.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, shall we run down our other favorite moments, like favorite acceptance speeches and presenters and whatnot?
Yeah, I've got a few on that. Well, when you were talking about there were different movies that could have won Best Picture, I liked the fact that there were surprises, because I feel like years ago, I don't know how old I would have been, but that you had no idea. And now you go into awards season and you pretty much know, not everybody, but who's going to win in the big categories. And I don't like that. I want to be, back then there wasn't social media and there wasn't, I don't even think they used to air like the SAGs and the Golden Globes and all that.
Yeah,
so,
I don't think until maybe 15 years ago, I don't remember ever watching anything else besides the Golden Globes leading up to the Oscars.
And even though I do watch them all and I'm such a, I'm kind of starstruck, but yet I like that, to go in and say, oh, I wonder, that we haven't seen this press all along since January and the campaigning. And I just kind of prefer that you go in with many options that were like, oh, this could have won or she could have. So I enjoyed that. So some of my favorite moments, though, I loved that Mick Jagger was presented Best Original. I was like, oh my God, when he came out, I was like, it's Mick Jagger. And then just some of the funny, Amy Poehler was funny, Ben Stiller, June Squibb, they don't let them say too much on their own in their presentation, but they had a few funny lines. And then the LA firefighters, not just that they acknowledge them, but I like that they were able to tell a few jokes and stuff, kind of added stuff.
Yeah.
And then the acceptance speeches, Zoe Saldana's, she's just a very heartfelt speaker. You can kind of feel all her emotions coming out, so I enjoyed that. And then, of course, Kieran Culkin's, every time he speaks, he's just very funny. And now talking about the four kids, I thought that was hilarious. And I was thinking about it on my walk. I said, she should have said, when you win an EGOT, because I think that would be a little bit harder for him to get.
Or the Nobel Peace Prize.
And then, let's see. Okay, and the last one was, I should have put it with, it wasn't during the opening, but later. I don't know why this just cracked me up when Latvia won an Oscar. What did they win for?
I don't even remember. Flo won animated feature film. Yeah.
Conan said, okay, the ball's in your court, Estonia. And that just, some people probably have no idea what that meant, but I just remember, I don't know if we learned that in like middle school geography or what, but you always put those two together, Latvia and Estonia. So I thought that was.
Well, then do you remember what he said after after Paul Tazwell won for costume design?
No.
Because he was the first black man to ever win in that category.
Yeah, did he say the same thing again? He said that Latvia thing twice.
Well, he said the Estonia thing twice.
I mean that, yeah.
Yeah.
Was that when he said that to him then, too?
Right, exactly.
Okay, and then after you do your favorite moments, I just wanted to talk a little bit more about something else, so.
Okay, oh, should I be worried?
No.
Okay. My favorite acceptance speeches were Sean Baker, specifically his directing acceptance speech, when he talked about how it was basically a love letter to movie theaters, how he's
was
so grateful that Neon gave Anora a decent theatrical release, and how he encouraged parents to take their kids to theaters, and to inspire them to be the movie makers and movie lovers of tomorrow.
Yeah, and that's good.
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm fortunate living in New York City that there's still more movie theaters than I need, but
yeah,
other parts of the country, there's not as many theaters, and it's tough. You know, after the pandemic and other reasons, it's tough for a lot of them to stay open. I guess you're in a decent area where you have like one multiplex and then an independent theater not too far away, which is.
Yeah, I've got in 45 minutes away in Waterville, they often get some different movies, but the bigger, the Bangor and in Old Town get most of the same, you know, the popular movies. Right. So, and Bucksport, there's a small theater, which is 30 minutes. Sometimes I'll drive there if there's something good that hasn't come or I don't think is going to come to the theaters. But you are lucky when you're in a big city like that. Yeah.
And the other one I really liked was for the documentary winners, the No Other Land directors. One of them is Palestinian, the other one's Israeli.
Oh, was that the married couple?
No, it was the two young guys.
Oh, yes. Okay.
And I think it was the Israeli guys. He called the other one. He's like, this is my brother. This is what, basically it was like, this is what the relationship between Israel and Palestine should be like.
Should be.
And I'm like, it's, I mean, that conflict has been, have been hesitant to say anything about it because I'm not Israeli. I'm not Palestinian. I don't have any close relation to anyone there. My viewpoint is whatever the most peaceful solution is, that should be the solution.
But I know, it's hard.
I'm like, these guys know what they're talking about. They live there. I haven't seen their movie yet. I've heard good things about it. I've been meaning to see it.
Which one is it?
It's called No Other Land.
Okay.
Here's the wild thing. It won the Oscar for Best Documentary, but it doesn't have any distributor. Like, no studio bought it up. It's been self-distributed by the filmmakers, and it's been released in just, like, a couple of theaters. But it's been, I guess, it's like, just that subject is so controversial. Like, no studio wants to touch it.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, so it's been hard to see unless you were lucky enough to attend one of the film festivals where it played. On a lighter note, I also really liked the presentations of the costume design and cinematography categories where they had an actor from each of the nominated movies talk about their relationship with their costume designer or their cinematographer. Especially Bowen Yang talking about the Wicked costume designer. And also John Lithgow talking about how he liked how his cardinal outfit was very forgiving in Conclave. Did we mention June Squibb yet? How she was actually... How she was actually Bill Skarsgård.
She was
dressed as June Squibb.
Funny. She's 95. Yeah. Something I read, I don't know if it was on an email I got, said that she should have had a standing ovation when she came out because she's 95. But yeah, she's funny.
All right. So what was the last thing
you wanted to mention? So I just wanted, this has to do with Adora. So I just said, I'm not sure how or when Anora started picking up momentum to be the best picture, because like you said, the beginning, it wasn't really winning much. And it really puzzles me talking about, this is just things you said tonight, but that Conclave seems more like you know, what the Academy voters would vote for, not Honora.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to see it. Luckily, I saw it by myself. This was why I would have been humiliated if I was with anybody else. And I am not a prude, but I truly felt like I was watching a porno movie for the first half. Seriously. And I talked to my friend who saw it, and they said the same thing. I was like, and I mean, that's what the movie is, but I was just kind of surprised. And so I did enjoy the second half a lot more. But I think many people are going to say, oh, that what I want to see Honora since it won Best Picture. And frankly, I think they're going to be a little shocked because I don't know. I don't think it's what people are expecting. So I guess it just surprised me that many Academy voters members would have voted for it. So I did like Mikey Madison because, like you, I watched her. I saw her in Better Things, and I thought she was very good. I don't know if that's her first role or not. But I did enjoy her. So.
Yeah, I mean, that was the first thing I saw her in, and I think she was a teenager when that show started.
Yeah, so. And so when I started hearing about Honora and that, you know, how well she was doing, I was like proud of her. I'm like, oh, good, she's, you know, and she did. I mean, that was probably a challenging role to take on, but I've only seen five of the of the 10 nominees, so maybe. I'm not qualified to choose which movie should win, but I guess I was just surprised. Did that surprise you at all that it won? I mean, just for the type of film, it's kind of like, I was trying to think if Midnight Cowboy, that, when that came out in 19, whatever it was, 72 maybe, or because I remember. Was it that early?
I think so. Let me check.
Because I was going with my high school boyfriend, and when it first came
69.
Out...
Yeah, 69.
Oh. Maybe I'm thinking of something else. Or unless it was re-released or something. It was rated X when it first came out, and then they changed it. But I was kind of... Not comparing... I mean, the stories aren't the same, but I'm thinking that would be like if Midnight Cowboy won a bunch of awards, and I don't remember if it did or not.
Midnight Cowboy
did
won
it
Best,
win
Picture.
Best Picture.
Yeah, I'm looking up it now. It won Picture, Director, and Screenplay.
Yeah, that's interesting. But anyway, I don't know. Yeah, so did that, I just guess I was curious if that surprised you at all. Did you like the movie, first of all?
I mostly liked it, kind of had some complicated thoughts about it. Just like kind of like the last scene I thought was rather ambiguous and I wasn't sure what the takeaway was meant to be. I've seen a lot of different interpretations of it. I've seen people be like, this is a very humanistic movie. It thinks like, sex workers are people as much as anyone else. And I've seen other people say, actually, this is a regressive view of sex workers. It's not a complimentary view of them. And I'm like, I'm not sure. I don't know what the overall message is. I'm like giving it leeway because I think the performances were so great. And I do think Sean Baker came from a place of love with it. So, I mostly liked it. What I'm just been like slightly uncomfortable with the more ambiguous parts, which doesn't mean that I disliked it. Just I'm not entirely sure how I felt about it.
Yeah, I didn't dislike it. I was just surprised that it.
Yeah. I was a little surprised that it won so big because when I saw it, I was like, this, I can see this getting nominations. I can definitely see Mikey Madison even possibly winning like she did. And I could see getting a Best Picture nomination because I think there's a sizable enough contingent of the Academy that is comfortable enough with a movie like that. But I didn't, I always had my doubts that it would be that big a winner. Like, it really didn't seem like my one journalist that I know of, David Sims, who also co-hosts the Blank Check podcast, he appeared on another podcast talking about the Oscars and said, Anora is too spiky a movie to win Best Picture.
Spiky?
Like edgy.
Yeah.
And I agreed with his take. I was like, yeah, I mm-hmm. do think it's a bit too explicit, a bit too
that's
shaggy. I mean. But yeah, apparently it wasn't. And I think, again, like I mentioned before, I think a big part of that is how well-liked Sean Baker is within the industry.
I didn't realize that was, but anyway, that was just my two cents on that. So I just came away from it. I was like, wow, that won five awards.
Yep.
So anyway, okay, that's all I have to say on that.
Okay, anything? Well, I guess let's go ahead and wrap it up then. Anything to promote or quickly before we do?
Just quick, I wrote down a couple. I just finished Paradise just before I talked to you, and that was really good.
I think my dad he recommended that when we were on our Jeopardy episode.
Tonight is the last one. And another one I'm really enjoying is The Pitt. Mm-hmm. It's on Max. Have you watched that at all?
I haven't, but I've heard about it.
Yeah, it takes place in Pittsburgh. I told at a hospital. I told Katie she should watch it.
I've heard if you liked ER, then you'll like this.
Yeah, it takes place. It's one day, so it's each hour.
So maybe if you like 24, you'll also like this.
Yeah, kind of very good acting in it. So, and then the other 0 Hour. I've only watched two of those with Robert De Niro, but that's good. And I haven't started Running Point, but that sounds very good with Kate Hudson. Mm-hmm. So those are the ones that I'm interested in.
Okay. Well, I didn't write down any recommendations. Maybe I'll recommend Conclave, because that was what I was rooting for at the Oscars.
Yeah,
and I think that's streaming on Peacock currently. And as usual, I'll promote our Patreon. You can support us for a few bucks per month if you'd like to. And Ken Jeong, you still have an invitation to appear on as a guest on this podcast whenever you'd like to. And you can leave us a review, and we might just read it on air. You can do that on your favorite podcast app, or you can go to ratethispodcast.com/thatsentertainment. And you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and we're also on Blue Sky now. And I guess that's everything. Until next Oscars, what do you think's going to win Best Picture next year?
Oh, geez. I don't even know what's come out yet.
Have you seen anything come out this year?
I'm not sure if I've seen any new things. I've gone to a couple movies, but I can't even remember what I've seen. So we'll have to wait and see.
Did you see Dog Man?
No, didn't see that.
I don't think that'll win Best Picture. That was an animated movie about a dog and a man.
Oh, okay.
No, spliced together.
I know. I don't. I know. I've seen. I can't remember. I keep waiting for. Like I said, I'm Still Here, and it was something I almost went to and then decided. Oh, it was Bill Murray, his latest movie.
Riff Raff?
Yeah. I almost went to that. Did you see that?
Didn't. I've.
I don't know if I.
Yeah. I was. The last few weeks, I was catching up on the Oscar movies I haven't seen yet. So I've missed a few new ones as well.
Okay.
All right, well, I guess I'll go ahead and say bon voyage for good now.
Yeah, I will say what is good night till next time.
And I'll say keep your remotes handy and your eyes open.